Hello and welcome to the situation update for Friday, January 8th, 2021. Mike Adams, your host here of naturalnews.com. Thank you for joining me. And there's so much intel coming in tonight. You're about to be rocked from what you're going to hear. I've got intel from a couple of sources and some other realizations as well. In fact, I had to scrap my previous recording of this update and re-record it based on new information that's coming in. So let's just start with the basics here. First of all, Trump has not conceded. Everybody is assuming that he has conceded. First, they were thinking that because of a speech that he gave, well, two nights ago. I mean, a special message from the White House. And then there was another one last night that sounded even more like a concession to a lot of people. And even at first I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh, it sounds like he's given in, but turns out he isn't. And I'm about to tell you why that is, what's behind all of it. But first, his speech from 2 days ago, he said that, quote, there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. And he says, it's only the beginning of our fight to make America great again. And a lot of people in the mainstream media and alternative media assumed that that meant Trump was saying there's going to be an orderly transition to a Biden administration. He did not say that at all. He did not say he conceded. And he's probably just talking about an orderly transition to his second term is what he's talking about, because it is a transition from the first term to the second term. You got a different Senate, a different House, and a whole different country now, you know, because of all the vote rigging and so on. So there's that. And then last night, Trump gave another talk that many people thought for sure this is a concession speech. And in that video from the White House, he said, quote, a new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My priority is to ensure a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation. Now, it turns out, once again, Trump has not conceded. He did not concede, did not use the word concede. He did not name Joe Biden at all. And in fact, there will be a new administration inaugurated on January 20th of the year 2025. So Trump isn't lying when he says there will be a new administration inaugurated on January 20th. Yep. Even if you're talking about this January 20th, it probably means his administration will be new because there won't be a Vice President Pence, because Pence may be arrested or removed or resigned. So we'll talk about that here in a second. But why would Trump be running with this head fake? Why is he trying to appear like he's conceding, but he's not actually conceding? He's not actually conceding. He hasn't given up power. And by the way, Bloomberg, I think, took those words and claimed in their headline that Trump confirmed that the Biden administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. Trump didn't say that at all. So the media is trying to fake like he said that, but he didn't. So, and by the way, they are desperately trying to remove him from power right now, today, because they can't stand to have him in power for the next 2 weeks or a little bit less. Why is that? So think about this. Why would Trump have a fake concession? Maybe that's not the right term, but a non-concession speech that some people might interpret as a concession. And why would, if he's conceded, why would all the powers that be focused on desperately removing him from his seat now, calling on him to resign, threatening to impeach him now, threatening the 25th Amendment now? Oh, and by the way, the word is that Vice President Pence will not participate in the 25th Amendment removal effort that Nancy Pelosi has been pushing. But why? What makes sense out of these data points? Well, let me add one more for you here. So another source, through this source, I learned that Trump is being threatened with dirty bombs. That it's being threatened by the deep state and the globalists that there will be a dirty bomb set off in every state in America where there was a senator who objected to the Biden electoral votes. So that would mean a dirty bomb in Texas because Cruz objected, and a dirty bomb in Missouri because Hawley objected. And in Missouri, that would be, you know, Jeff City, St. Louis, or Kansas City, I suppose. In Texas, it might be, you know, Dallas, Austin, Houston, San Antonio, whatever. I mean, and you could do this from the other states. And I think there were seven senators total. Well, over the last couple of days, and I believe the open source flight tracking information confirms this, there have been many, many sniffer flights. Now, these are sniffer aircraft that are DOD aircraft. MonkeyWorks talks about these from time to time. Sniffer aircraft flying over certain strategic areas. And what they do is they have mass spec instruments on board, and they're taking in air samples at relatively low altitude, and they're doing a real-time analysis using mass spec to determine if there are certain isotopes present in the air. And there are also radiation detectors, of course. There are also chemical detectors. So they have, you know, a bank of instruments and different methods. So the radiation detectors, they don't need to necessarily sniff the air. They're just looking for radiation that's above background radiation. And they can find dirty bombs if they're not well shielded. Well, these have been in the skies a lot recently looking for nuclear material. And the deep state is, you know, they realize they're fighting for their lives because so many people are going to go to jail if Trump secures his second term. They are threatening Trump in ways that you and I can't even imagine. And so Trump reportedly is trying to delay them setting off these dirty bombs to give him and his military teams enough time to activate and to take down the deep state traitors in a very rapid maneuver. And the reason I'm saying this publicly is because no one will believe any of this, you know, who's from the deep state anyway. They think they've got this locked down, so it doesn't even matter. And I'm banned on YouTube and, you know, all the other platforms anyway. So this is only going to be heard by, you know, fewer than 100,000 people total, which is actually, it's fine. It's great. I mean, I love having access to an audience of real patriots like you, people who are super informed, but not the masses. I mean, the masses won't believe anything, well, except what they see on CNN. So I don't care about reaching the uninformed masses. I want to reach the people where it really counts, and that's you. And so that's why the deep state has, frankly, not killed me yet, because my audience is a very small percentage of the total population of the country. So, you know, I'm pretty much silenced in their view. You know, not a major influencer like I would have been if they had not censored me. So anyway, that's why I can get away with saying this, which is fine. Well, I mean, it's not fine, but it's, you know, I'm still alive and I'm still able to talk to you. So that's, we got to work with what we have. So then another source through a friend who is very, very close to, I'll just say, tied to the White House. I don't want to give away too much more. Had told me through back channels that there's still a plan in place to use elements of the military to carry out mass arrests, including the arrest of Vice President Pence, probably for treason or some, who knows, for being on the Jeffrey Epstein Island or something. And this is from a credible source, a very credible source. I don't want to give away, you know, too much, just out of respect for the source. But during that time, that there would be a blackout of the internet and some telecommunications infrastructure. So, and there's another piece to this that I got to mention here. But you can see how the pieces are starting to fit together. So we have dirty bomb threats. They're telling Trump, concede or else. And a dirty bomb, you know, one dirty bomb could kill, you know, 50,000 people, depending on where it's set off, I suppose. So the deep state is threatening to kill hundreds of thousands of Americans if Trump doesn't concede. So he's trying to delay them. He's trying to give a speech that sounds like a concession. So he could say, okay, I conceded. but he didn't really legally concede. And he's still in power for the next 2 weeks, which is why they're desperately trying to remove him. But they're failing because Pence won't go in on the 25th Amendment deal, at least not yet. So Trump is now a president in exile, in a sense. He's physically not in D.C. anymore. As you know, he flew to Abilene, Texas, right after the January 6th fiasco situation. He got out of Dodge because he knew he wasn't physically safe. Well, Trump is now surrounded by patriotic, loyal elements of the DOD, of the military, and he's in a safe state. Now, I don't know if he's going to be moving around more, but I doubt it. He's probably locked down in a very secure facility right now because he's still president for 2 weeks. He's still got the loyal elements of the military with him, and he's still calling the shots. Well, he knows that if he surrenders America to the communists and the deep state, millions will die. Maybe 100 million will die versus the hundreds of thousands that would die if they set off dirty bombs. So Trump is not going to bow down and surrender the nation just over the threat of dirty bombs. He's going to continue to fight in whatever way he still can using the resources that he still has. And those resources are military resources. And by the way, Sidney Powell, I believe, is working on legal documents and legal arguments related to what's about to happen. So we're still on the track here where Trump will initiate the mass arrests, but he's got to do it with lightning speed. And when that happens, or right before that happens, telecommunications infrastructure is going to go down. And Trump, who is being now very maliciously censored by Facebook and Twitter, and they're doing it for this very reason, because there are leaks in every operation, and the leaks have gotten out to the deep state. They know that Trump is going to try to communicate with the public with a national emergency message. So they're banning Trump permanently from Facebook and probably Twitter and Instagram as well, or at least as long as they can get away with it, because they don't want him to be able to communicate. They're also destroying evidence that Trump had called for people to go home in peace. They're destroying that evidence as well. Well, this is full-blown information warfare here. Okay, this is cyber war. This is info war. This is global warfare. And this is the battle for the future of our republic. And we don't know that Trump's going to win this, but he's positioned to do so. And if he does, it'll be the greatest victory since George Washington. Now, then yesterday, the FCC put out an enforcement advisory. And this enforcement advisory is, I'm going to read from it, it's been sent out by the FCC, quote, to remind broadcasters, cable television operators, wireless cable operators, and so on and so forth, even satellite and so on, of their obligation to comply with the Emergency Alert System rules, that's EAS, including ensuring that the EAS alerts are accessible to persons with disabilities, and so on. It talks about the emergency alert system that enables the president to communicate via live audio transmission to the public during a national emergency. And then it says EAS participants must transmit presidential messages during national emergencies. Okay? So, why would the FCC enforcement advisory, or why would the FCC send out an enforcement advisory yesterday? What's so special about, why do they have to send this out now and remind all of the communications infrastructure in America that you have to carry the president's emergency audio message? Why? Because that's what's coming. So think about it. We are a nation under siege. A massive criminal cartel has seized the White House through the rigged elections, or they're trying to, in the process of it. They rigged the Georgia elections to seize the Senate. They rigged the elections in 2018 to seize the House. They have censored conservatives, taking away the civil rights of about half the country using discrimination based on viewpoints, or what's just called viewpoint discrimination, which is a violation of the basic civil rights and human rights of the American people. We also have a left-wing media that's run by the CIA that is maliciously lying about events such as the January 6th, quote, breach of the Capitol building. And by the way, you can't call it a breach if the police invite you in. You're right. So, I mean, that wasn't a breach. It was like a tour. So come on in, because that's what they were doing. So, but the media is completely lying about that. And even Joe Biden is calling Trump supporters domestic terrorists now and all of this. Well, Trump is not going to concede so easily to this. He's going to fight. And he is fighting. And as part of this fighting, he's going to use the emergency broadcast system, and he's going to use the United States Marine Corps and Special Operations Forces. And he's going to arrest traitors. This is the plan that's underway. So I'm telling you this so you can be prepared for this once it occurs. Now, it's like everything right now. It's not 100% assured. The deep state is fighting like crazy. They're running false flag operations. They might try to nuke the base where Trump is staying right now or something. I mean, they're desperate. There's nothing they won't try at the moment. They might try to nuke DC. They might pull off other false flags. Who knows? I mean, they might kill Joe Biden and blame it on patriots, you know? I mean, anything. They'll try anything at this point. So nothing is 100% assured, but I can tell you that Trump does not, you know, he's not a quitter, and he's not going to be leveraged into this concession so easily. And he didn't even make a concession speech. He never mentioned Joe Biden. He never said that it's January 20th of this year. And he never said that he concedes to anything. He never said that he lost. In fact, he continues to state that he won. So this is really where we are right now. I hope that the dirty bomb threat is a bluff, but I doubt it. I think it's probably very real. And also part of that intel said that there are dirty bombs that are being used in other countries or set in other countries as well. So it's not just the United States. Basically, the globalists are needing to get the compliance of America so they can carry out their global reset plan. And the global reset plan, as I've talked about in previous podcasts, is really a global genocide plan. It's global depopulation. And it uses bioweapons such as the coronavirus, but it also uses then weaponized vaccines, which are depopulation vectors that are already killing people. You've probably seen in the media. And they will kill a lot more people upon exposure to COVID-21, which is probably in its final stages of being engineered for release later on this year. The economic lockdowns are part of this, and the financial reset is part of this. And there's a reason why Bitcoin it hit $40,000 today, because people are absolutely losing faith in the dollar. They're jumping into alternatives that they hope might be portable or resilient. And cryptocurrencies fit that bill for many people. And it's hard for everybody to just buy physical gold and, you know, haul gold around or whatever. So they're buying Bitcoin. I'm happy to see Bitcoin at 40,000. It'll probably continue to go up for quite some time, but it's going to be very volatile. So I'm not advising people to jump in or anything. I'm just saying it's going to be a roller coaster for Bitcoin. But these are signs of what's happening, that people are losing faith in the systems. And they're jumping to alternatives because everybody can sense that something massive and very hazardous is coming. Now, if Trump fails in this effort and Joe Biden is sworn in as president, then that puts America on the path to a very rapid genocide depopulation outcome. We will probably see many, many millions of Americans, maybe tens of millions dead before the year 2025. And the country won't survive beyond that. I don't see America existing as we know it, really, even for a couple more years, frankly. But certainly by 2025, it's not going to be the same country, even if Trump is president, by the way. So with Trump in his second term, we're going to see, of course, a civil war from the radical left and also international warfare attacks from China, which will then go ahead and activate against us, since their puppet didn't get in the White House. On the other hand, if Biden does get in, that's China's control over America. But China wants America to collapse, and they will influence Biden to continue to pressure the Fed to keep printing trillions of dollars, like $1 trillion every 2 weeks or something like that, coming up in 2021, in order to bail out the failing Democrat-controlled cities and states, such as Illinois, California, New York, New Jersey, and so on. And this will bankrupt the nation, and there will be an economic collapse not too far down the road with Biden as president, if indeed he gets in there. But Trump's got a solid shot at this first, and Trump's going to use all of his resources to make sure that Biden never gets in the White House. And also, just as a bonus side effect to all of this, if Trump is able to activate his plans, then the whole problem with the Senate is solved, because you're going to see so many senators arrested and charged with treason that the Senate will be mostly vacant. And the same thing is true with the House. You're going to see House members just completely arrested and removed and charged with treason or fraud or, you know, conspiracy to defraud the country and things like that. So I want you to be aware that today, many people in the independent media are convinced that it's over. Even Laura Loomer posted a very despairing kind of post. It's like, it's over, you know, the conservatives are going to be hunted down, which would be the case if Biden gets in. And a lot of people are thinking the Democrats have the House and the Senate and the White House, and we can't trust the Supreme Court. We're all screwed. This is the end of America. And frankly, we're not there yet. I mean, we might get there in 2 weeks. Admittedly, that might be where we are in 2 weeks. We are not there today. We are not done fighting today. And so I ask you, do not give in. Understand that Trump is maneuvering behind the scene in ways that you and I cannot possibly understand, ways that are never going to be made public. He is working against enemies of incredible strength, incredible determination and resources that are threatening the president and his family members in ways that we can't even imagine. And Trump is still alive. He's still there. He's in a safe location. He's given them a fake concession so that maybe they will back off for a little bit to give Trump this key time, a few hours or a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, you know, maybe 72 hours in which he can act. And we'll know, you know, outside of 3 or 4 days if he's failed. And if he has failed, then, you know, if it becomes clear to me, I will tell you, and I will admit that very publicly. But that day is not today. He has not failed, and he has not conceded. Now, I believe that the only way Trump would concede is if he got a deal to avoid prosecution, because he knows that they're going to try to criminally prosecute him and his family the minute that he no longer has executive privilege as the president. He'll be prosecuted at the state level in states like New York, for example. The only way Trump would concede is if he were offered a deal to protect his family. Well, if that deal were offered, that deal, and if it were accepted, such a deal would come with very specific terms. What do you think those terms would be? Well, it's pretty obvious. One of the terms would be that Trump would offer a very clear concession to Joe Biden, and also that Trump would step down immediately. Well, Trump has not conceded to Joe Biden, and Trump is not stepping down, which tells me that there has been no deal, which tells me that Trump is still in power and still fighting. And that's good news. So, you know, don't believe everything you hear from even his own mouth that is, like, you could take it in different ways. Right now, he is playing a very, very critical strategy that involves public perception, but also trying to prevent dirty bombs from going off and trying to save the nation, which means saving the world at the same time. I mean, truly, none of us can imagine the burden that's on his shoulders. And really what we need to do is, number one, pray for his safety and pray for his guidance and wisdom and pray for the future of our country. But secondly, continue to publicly support this president. Say, we are with you, President Trump, as you challenge the rigged, fraudulent, criminal system that's trying to carry out a political coup against this country. We, the people, do not accept that coup attempt. We do not accept Biden. He did not win. We do not accept the rigged elections with the super secret voting machines and secret ballots and secret suitcases and secret vans. And, you know, come on, give me a break. Secret source code that you can't look at. Black box voting. We do not accept it. And we do not accept the rigged election in Georgia. We do not accept the corrupt courts that dismiss every case without hearing the evidence. And we do not accept the censorship of big tech. And we do not accept the lies of the fake news media. We are honest, upstanding, loving Americans. And we simply want our country back. In fact, we demand it. So that's where we are. And I remind you of what Trump said on Monday in Dalton, Georgia. He said, quote, we have to go all the way. You watch what happens over the next couple of weeks. You watch what's going to come out and watch what's going to be revealed. Those are his words from just 4 days ago. Why do you think Facebook and Twitter are blocking him? Why do you think Nancy Pelosi is running around desperately trying to get him removed with the 25th Amendment? Oh, and by the way, there's an online analysis slash rumor that Nancy Pelosi's office was breached during the breaching of the Capitol building. The theory says, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I'll share it with you. You can decide. But the theory says that some of Trump's undercover DOD personnel joined in that breaching, and they immediately went to Nancy Pelosi's office, and they copied the data from the computers there, from the laptops and the desktop PCs, and they got emails. The computers were just left wide open. I mean, that was actually widely reported, that Pelosi's office was breached. And that in those emails, it's rumored anyway, that there were a lot of incriminating emails about Pelosi's office communicating with the Chinese Communist Party. So I don't know. I haven't had that confirmed by any of my direct sources, but that's something that's out there that you can look into. I didn't mention it up front because I can't confirm it. But, you know, that's, even if that's not true, if that didn't happen, it's a good description of the level of the game that's being played here. This is way beyond what's being reported publicly or even by most of the independent media. This is spycraft, you could say. This is cyber warfare, information warfare. And Sun Tzu, as they say, or Sun Tzu, art of war. And by the way, you know, Trump is the master of the art of war, and he wrote Art of the Deal. And one of the principles of the art of war is that you appear weak when you are strong. So it would be classic Sun Tzu type of strategy to publicly appear to concede when you are about to strike your enemy with great strength and speed. That's exactly what Sun Tzu would do. And that's what Trump is poised to do. Now, I can't guarantee that he pulls the trigger on it. I can't guarantee it's going to succeed. If it fails, Trump will probably be killed in the attempt. In fact, there was a Lynn Wood tweet that I'd mentioned earlier, well, in another segment here, that I'm hearing rumors that Pence and the leaders of the coup are planning to arrest and execute President Trump and his followers. Typical move by communist tyrants. So Trump is putting his life on the line, and if he fails, he will probably be killed by the deep state. If he succeeds, we will get our country back, and Trump will go down in history as the greatest president since George Washington. They will literally have to put his face on Mount Rushmore. And I would love to see that happen just to watch liberals' heads explode when they look at it. What? You know, the screaming would never end. It would just be so funny. So there you go. Now, what I'm going to do from this point in the podcast, I'm going to go ahead and continue with a portion of the earlier recording that I did, because I had a very in-depth discussion there about censorship and how conservatives are being treated and vilified. And I think that's relevant. That's something you might want to hear. So I'll go ahead and bring that in. But if you just wanted the synopsis of the really bombshell news, I've already covered it. But feel free to continue if you want to hear the rest of the discussion. As you know, we're on the knife's edge here of either losing our republic, probably forever, or seeing the greatest victory against the deep state that we will ever see in our lifetimes. One of those two outcomes is going to happen, and it's going to change history. A quick correction from yesterday. We have since learned, after I recorded yesterday's episode, the name of the Air Force veteran, Ashley Babbitt. And she was a 14-year veteran of the Air Force. I had accidentally stated that she was, I think, 16 years old. That was the information I had at the time. It was, you know, fast-moving situation. Anyway, I apologize for that incorrect information. And I also want to say that everyone should remember the name Ashley Babbitt. And it's spelled A-S-H-L-I. Ashley Babbitt was executed by D.C. police. And there are rumors that she was executed at point-blank range, by the way, by one of Mike Pence's security personnel. And since yesterday, videos have been released that are really up close, and you can see that the shooter has a Glock, and you can't see the shooter's face from one camera angle, but you can see his two hands on a Glock, and you can see that Ashley Babbitt is kind of beating on a door with a group of other people there. And they shoot her at point blank range. I mean, essentially, what, maybe 4 feet away, which is really, really close. They shoot her in the neck. And they shot her because she was unarmed and because she carried a Trump flag and because, you know, she's a woman and a patriot and she supported Trump. And they probably didn't know she was a veteran at the time they shot her, but they don't care. So she was executed. No one in the left-wing media will talk about police brutality against an unarmed, white, female, military veteran Trump supporter. They pretend that police only shoot black people because that's all they will report. But when police open fire against a Trump supporter, of course. Well, actually, what the left is saying is that they say she deserved it. You know, you talk about malicious. She's not a criminal thug like a lot of these so-called victims of police shootings in the inner cities. You know, when police normally shoot an actual thug, the thug has got a knife and charging them, or has a gun and is shooting at them first. And the Democrats say that's not even justified. The Democrats have been arguing for a long time that police should never shoot a citizen, even if they're armed. But of course, it's always a double standard. There's always hypocrisy at work when it comes to these media narratives, which are very, very dishonest and dangerous. Oh, I want to mention first that Bitcoin hit $40,000 yesterday. Which is an extraordinary rise. And as I mentioned before, you know, I support cryptocurrency because it's a decentralization of money control. And I've warned people, you know, be careful about speculating because you don't know it's going to go way up or way down. Just be careful. But I think that Bitcoin is moving higher and higher because it's used as a currency system for bribes and kickbacks and transferring money illegally. And there's a lot of bribery and a lot of kickbacks going on right now. I mean, there are other reasons why Bitcoin is useful as well. I don't mean it's all illegal, just that the deep state uses it. The CIA uses it. The corrupt national leaders are using it. And with all that money approved, the trillions of dollars approved in the big omnibus spending bill, all this money's flown overseas. Well, the kickbacks are coming back to the families of senators and members of the House, you know, the leader of the Senate, leader of the House, Speaker of the House, or as I say, creeper of the House. So all this money is coming back to their families via probably via Bitcoin. And that's one reason why it's so high. But also remember that it can go very low as well when that cash flush scenario ends. There's a race against the clock that's underway. So Trump is preparing, I believe, to invoke military authority. And this is why he flew to Texas to a military base. And he's got his personnel in place and so on. We've covered all that for weeks. This plan by Trump, however, is exactly why Nancy Pelosi and Senator Chuck Schumer and others are desperate to remove Trump from power using the 25th Amendment. And they have been trying to pressure Vice President Mike Pence, whose permission, in essence, is needed to remove Trump from office. And a Business Insider reported late last night that Mike Pence, through his spokespeople, had announced that he's not going to be complicit in a 25th Amendment effort to remove President Trump. Isn't this interesting? So whereas Pence betrayed the entire nation, you know, on the 6th and early in the morning following that by not rejecting the fraudulent electoral votes, and then, you know, Pence unfollowed Trump from Twitter and so on, and it was a big deal of what happened. But Pence is apparently not going to go along with the 25th Amendment effort to remove Trump. This is a surprise because I thought that Pence had, you know, decloaked and shown himself to be the enemy of America and would now do anything to go along with efforts to remove Trump. So this really is a shocker to me, if indeed it's correct. But it may mean that Pence realizes he's already gone too far and he doesn't want to do any more damage to the country. I don't know. It's hard to know what he's thinking or feeling or what he's being threatened to do. Personally, I don't trust Pence. He could change this opinion the next day. But for right now, he's not invoking the 25th Amendment. And that means that Trump still has time. Time to maneuver. Time to invoke whatever he's going to invoke. Which, again, could be Insurrection Act, could be military options, could be lots of different things. Now, I forgot to mention that Trump has not conceded. I should have started with that. Trump did not concede. He put out a statement where he said, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. While this represents the end of the greatest first term in presidential history, it's only the beginning of our fight to make America great again. Well, guess what? Every president's first term comes to an end at the end of the first term, and then they get a second term if they're reelected. And that's what Trump intends to do. And Trump did not concede, and he did not say we're going to transition to Joe Biden. He says, quote, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. That's all he said. So really, I think he's just saying there's going to be an orderly transition to my second term on January 20th, which is what Secretary of State Mike Pompeo had said earlier in an interview. Remember when reporters were asking Pompeo, well, is there going to be a peaceful transition to Joe Biden? And Pompeo answered, I'm paraphrasing, something like, yes, there's going to be an orderly transition to Trump's second term. And I think that's what Trump is saying as well. Now, we don't know for sure how this is going to play out. Obviously, the deep state is willing to do anything. You know, they ran the false flag operation against the Capitol building. And we now know for sure that it was Antifa and Black Lives Matter leading the break-in into the Capitol building, then followed by patriots who were kind of like going along with it. So, there were patriots there, but it was initiated by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Most importantly, the Capitol Police let them in. The Capitol Police, now the videos have confirmed the whole thing. Capitol Police lifted the barricades, got them out of the way, directed people, come on in, guided them into the building. And then once they got in the building, actually guided them up the stairs and into the correct rooms and everything. It was the Capitol Police that were there basically giving them a tour. Come on in. And so we've put out a meme that says, it's not a breach if they invite you in. So this is being called a breach of the Capitol building or a storming of the Capitol building. Well, it's not a breach if they invite you in. So, you know, even if people are yelling and screaming, it's still not a breach because they invited you in. And by the way, just as a side note, what's obvious about this is that there was a stand down order. They had only a skeleton crew there at the Capitol building that day in terms of law enforcement. This is just like 9/11. It was a stand down order to let something happen. And then they initiated it. And the few police that were there were in on it, you know, on the take. And they were told and they met with the Antifa people in advance. And they said, yeah, we're going to come in at this time. We're going to lift the barricades. You're going to be able to rush in and then bring as many patriots with you as you can. You know, get those MAGA people to come in. And so that's what they did. And then the media narrative was obvious. Oh, my God, they're terrorists. Oh, my God, it's the worst thing ever. Oh, my God, it's Pearl Harbor against America. You know, this is what it has become, which is all insane. It's all fakery. We know that. The real domestic terrorism threat, that is Black Lives Matter and Antifa protesters with their Molotov cocktails and everything, that was called mostly peaceful by CNN and the media. But then when actually mostly peaceful patriots are in the Capitol building, they're called domestic terrorists. And I'll get to more of that in a minute. But Trump did not concede. All right? He did not concede. Now, in fact, attorney Lynn Wood said in a Parler tweet yesterday, quote, many traitors will be arrested and jailed over the next several days. And he retweeted another statement by another Parler user who said, sleep well tonight, patriots. The constitutional process played out till the end, and Trump didn't interfere once. You're going to love how this movie ends. Okay, that's interesting. Now, you know, Lynn Wood has tweeted a lot of provocative things, no question about it. He also tweeted, quote, I'm hearing rumors that Pence and leaders of the coup are planning to arrest and execute President Trump and his followers. Typical move by communist tyrants. And that's on Parler, by the way, because he's been totally banned on Twitter, which has also banned Trump and most Trump supporters at this point. I don't know why anybody even uses Twitter anymore. You know, if you're a patriot, you should all be on Parler or Gab or alternative platforms like that, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, but getting back to Trump, remember Trump's video where he explained that everybody should go home and go home in peace. And he said, you know, don't create trouble here at the Capitol building, go home. Well, there are a couple of very odd things about that. First, you should note that he was actually issuing a proclamation to disperse, which is a requirement under United States Code 10, section 254, or subsection 254. And it explains that, quote, whenever the president considers it necessary to use the militia or the armed forces under this chapter, he shall, by proclamation, immediately order the insurgents to disperse and retire peaceably to their abodes within a limited time. Now, if you were to translate that into modern language, that would sound like go home in peace, which is exactly what Trump said. Go home. I mean, he actually said go home with peace. And that's what this calls for. So then after that requirement is met, Trump can invoke the Insurrection Act or other forms of military authority. Again, if there are people still remaining to carry out those orders, which I'll talk about in a minute, basically Trump still has loyal people in certain sections of the military, you know, the DOD, Chris Miller, Ezra Cohen, Watnick, as well as special forces commanders, you know, Space Force, the Marines, Air Force, and so on. He does not have the Army and the top generals of the Army, but he doesn't need the Army. He only needs special forces. So after Trump issued that proclamation, then he flew to a military base in Abilene, Texas. And that flight was covered by MonkeyWorks using open source flight tracking information. Now, the other thing that was very strange about that video from Trump where he made this proclamation was that, you know, it was about a minute long, and it was put out shortly after the Capitol was raided. But there was no background noise in this video. It was taken outside. It looked like it was near, I don't know, maybe near the White House. There was no noise. There was nothing. It was like a peaceful day in that video. And a lot of people suspect that that was pre-recorded before January 6th. I mean, we don't have any proof of that, but it's just very odd that, number one, Trump he talks very smoothly in that, as if they took several takes, you know, just to get it nailed down just right. Trump wasn't fazed at all. He didn't sound nervous. I mean, it sounded like it was just a normal, relaxed day. And a lot of people have noticed that about that video. It's just very odd. So the two competing timelines right now are Congress trying to remove Trump by force as quickly as possible. And they're using all kinds of crazy rhetoric. And they're using all kinds of censorship in big tech to shut down Trump and prevent him from being able to communicate with the public. This is a key element of information warfare or cyber warfare. They are even destroying the evidence that Trump had called for people to go home in peace. Jeffrey Prather pointed this out as well. I'm talking about how, you know, part of the job of the enemy, big tech enemy here in this case, is to destroy evidence and block communications so that Trump can't talk to the country. Now, Trump can talk to the country. He could call up, you know, he could call up the president of Parler, for example, or Gab, or, you know, he could get a statement, or he could just invoke the National Emergency Broadcast System. Or frankly, he could just, you know, call up Lynn Wood or Alex Jones, you know, or anybody that has an audience. I mean, just put it on InfoWars and it'll get seen by everybody. So Trump's got a lot of options, and he has Alex Jones' phone number. And so, you know, he could do that. He could get a message out. They haven't succeeded in completely blocking him. The real question is, number one, does Trump have the courage to pull the trigger on the military option? And secondly, does he still have enough of an infrastructure that's loyal to him inside the military to get it done? And I think my personal assessment is that a lot of this hinges on the evidence of foreign interference. And there was that bombshell that came out like 30 hours ago or whatever that Code Monkey Z was tweeting about, and it has since been covered all over the Italian press, how the Italian government with its you know, aerospace corporation had worked with Obama to have this network of satellites to transfer the information back and forth from Dominion machines in order to rig the election in real time. And there's a lot of speculation that the Vatican was involved in this as well. I mean, Pope Francis, we know, is a globalist and a traitor to humanity. So that makes a lot of sense that Francis and Obama probably would love to be on the same wavelength here and have the same plans to destroy Trump. So that information came in and it probably forced Trump's people to, you know, to recalibrate how they're going to roll this out or where they need to focus their reaction, because this has to be done very, very quickly. Once they activate special forces, they have to move with lightning speed. They've got to arrest certain people. They've got to take down certain, you know, satellite communications, for example. They've got to get information out to the public very quickly. And by the way, there's also a lot of speculation that Sidney Powell is behind the scenes right now, feverishly working on this effort to document everything that's happened with foreign interference. And by the way, I think her website is defendingtherepublic.org, if I'm not mistaken. And she can use some donations there for her efforts. She's working basically pro bono, not on Trump's payroll. And she's working for America, trying to save this republic. And she's doing just an extraordinary job. So Trump's action here is going to have to be well-coordinated. It's going to have to be swift, and it's going to have to be decisive. And so I can imagine they're trying to get all the pieces in place, and then Trump's got to make that final decision to actually do it. And maybe at the end of the day, he decides not to. I don't know. I hope he does it. I hope he pulls the trigger, because I don't want to live under communism. I don't want to live in a nation where the elections are rigged and the news is fake and online speech is totally censored. You know, we're never going to win another election again. When I say we, I don't mean the GOP. I mean we, the people. The people will never win again. Screw the GOP. They're done for. We, the people, will never win again because everything's rigged. The machines are rigged. And unless there's a real investigation and an exposing of how these elections are rigged and a return to honest elections, paper ballots, nationwide voter ID, transparent audits, and so on, then we're never going to get our country back. It all hinges on elections. I mean, this is supposed to be a constitutional republic, or as people say commonly, a democracy. In a democracy, you have to have honest elections or you lose the democracy. If it's all rigged, what do you have? Oh, Venezuela. And that's exactly where this is going. So I hope Trump has the will to act, but I don't know. I can't read his heart and his mind. I don't know. He's been through a lot. You know, he's probably got massive psychological, you know, trauma against him for all the 4 years of everything that's been hurled at him. But amazingly, he's been resilient and he's still fighting and he's still kicking ass. So, you know, if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Trump. But we can't know for sure whether he will. In the meantime, the clock is ticking toward January 20th, as well as the removal effort to try to remove him from power. But if Mike Pence is blocking the 25th Amendment and Trump has left the White House and is in a secure location surrounded by loyal military people, then they won't be able to get to him. And as long as the military follows his orders, then he can succeed in this plan. Now, if they manage to remove Trump from office using the 25th Amendment, I have to warn you, I believe that would be an automatic trigger point for a spontaneous armed uprising, i.e. civil war across America. And I describe this to you at the same time that I pray it never happens. Don't want to see this happen. But if they were to remove Trump right now with the 25th Amendment, I think that you would see hundreds of thousands of patriots storming the Capitol building, and they would not be unarmed this time. They would be armed, and they would shoot the traitors on sight. And they would probably have to end up shooting all the DC police who got in their way, you know, and it would be a nightmare bloody mess. And I don't want to see that happen, obviously. My other thought is that if this ever does go into a hot civil war, which is a very likely scenario here, depending on how this plays out, patriots would probably realize that the Capitol building is going to be extremely well defended. And I suspect what they would do, again, I'm not advocating this, not in no way am I calling for it, and I pray it never happens. But just tactically in guerrilla warfare, they would likely target lawmakers when they go home to their home cities and states. And that's where the deep state is currently taking out GOP lawmakers, is at home. Most people live in a home where their address can be found online. And this is why left-wing lunatics were attacking Josh Hawley's home in Missouri and terrorizing his wife and child. This is why they attacked Tucker Carlson's home. And I think this is why, is it Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler? I think didn't he say he wanted to move to a different building because he was tired of all the protests terrorizing the other residents of his building? Was that Wheeler who said that? The truth is, most people can be found just using simple online services, you know, because most people's addresses are public. Most people get mail at their home. You know, I mean, people who know what they're doing don't live that way. But the average person, including members of Congress, you know, it's not hard for someone to physically locate them if they wish to. So you could have a spectrum. You know, in a civil war scenario, you could have a spectrum of anything, and this goes for both sides, left and right. But you could have peaceful protests outside the home of a lawmaker, which is annoying, by the way. You know, it's annoying to have protesters screaming and shouting and then beating on your door. You know, that's like another step up, all the way to actual attacks on a person's home or a hit. You know, bombing their cars or whatever terrorists might do. That's typically a left-wing type of tactic. you know, setting bombs in people's cars, or the CIA would use, you know, killer contact chemicals. They spray it on your car door handle or your home door handle. You go to open your door, you know, and you die of, quote, a heart attack in 60 seconds, foaming at the mouth because of whatever chemical they spray. That's a CIA move right there. But different groups can target people in their homes. And I'm really, really concerned that because this election was rigged and half the country knows it, that if Joe Biden is installed without any kind of a real examination of the evidence of vote fraud, without a court actually hearing the case, you know, without people having transparency to examine the voting machines and examine the ballots and look at the affidavits and you know, have SCOTUS hear this thing, hear the evidence. If that doesn't happen, Biden is not going to have the consent of the people, you know, half the people. And as a result, the people will correctly conclude that they are no longer represented by the federal government, that the president doesn't represent them at all, and it wasn't even a fair election. And I can see that this could end up in a guerrilla warfare type of situation pretty quickly across America. And, you know, we haven't had that situation since the 1860s with the Civil War. And since then, you know, with the rise of the internet and the electronic, you know, digital society, the structure of society has changed to the point where pretty much anybody can find anybody else, where they live, where they go to work, where they get their mail, you know, their license plate number of their car, whatever. Also, many important structures of society or infrastructure pieces, such as power substations and water supplies and so on, are very easy for people to find using Google Maps, for example. People can use Google Maps even to create, and again, I'm not recommending this. I'm just warning about the implications of a digital age, but they could build up, you know, attack plans of even like a senator's home or mansion. I don't know. Maybe they have a mansion somewhere. People could use Google Maps to see, oh, here's where the trees are, the walls, the bushes. They could actually have an attack plan going. And this could be, again, someone on the left or someone on the right, either way. You know, I don't want to see these things happen. This is why I've always thought it's a horrible idea for Google to do public maps of everybody's backyards and you know, pools. And then here's a picture of your front door from a street view, you know, and it's just a total invasion of privacy. But the government will have Google blur out Area 51, right, or certain bases. And they blurred out, by the way, the AT&T building front in downtown Nashville, the one that was, you know, before that missile strike happened, right? They blurred that out. So that was a secret government site. But they don't blur out the homes of senators and lawmakers and governors and mayors and people who might very well be targeted in an actual hot civil war. And I can see it going that way very, very quickly. And sadly, the reaction to that would be a President Biden turning America into a military police state, which would be him invoking the Insurrection Act and then him having soldiers on the streets, like actual military in the streets, checkpoints, you know, and then having soldiers guarding senators even when they go home and everything. It would just be this high security military police state under the rule of an authoritarian regime that stole the election and stole the White House in the first place. And by the way, on top of that, then you've got the New York Times and Wired Magazine and other left-wing media companies arguing for more censorship as well, saying that, oh, the right-wing protesters who quote, breached the Capitol building, well, they used platforms to coordinate, you know, as if left-wing actual terrorists never coordinated all over Twitter and Facebook. But they're saying, oh, you got to shut down Parler and Gab and BitChute and, you know, all these right-wing websites. They all got to be shut down because patriots are using them to plot and plan raids on on the Capitol building where the police let them in. You know, again, it's not a breach if they invite you in, is it? It's not really a breach. So this is being used to call for more censorship, which is only going to feed into the cycle of frustration among patriots in particular. One of the reasons that patriots are so frustrated right now is because they are being systematically censored for their political views. And this has been going on for 4 years under the entire first term of the Trump administration. And as I've even argued before, you can't have a fair and free democracy or constitutional republic if you don't have the free exchange of ideas. If you can't have an open, honest debate in the public square of the day, which is the online space now, you know, the Twitter, Facebook, Google, YouTube, what have you, then the election really is null and void because the election happened under circumstances of extreme censorship of just one side of the political debate, the Trump side. So really, Biden's election was null and void even without the Dominion machines and the election rigging and the ballot stuffing. It was null and void because of the censorship. And if you censor patriots more, which is what the left is calling for, then you're only going to have more frustration. Patriots are going to feel, and correctly so, that they're being completely disenfranchised from society, that they're not allowed to speak online, which is where we are now. They're not allowed to work in corporate America because they're all being banished for being a Trumper. They're not allowed to, in some cases, even engage in banking because banks like Chase, JP Morgan, they banned Laura Loomer for being Laura Loomer. That's how insane it is. And you're not allowed to participate in a meaningful way in an election because your vote will be outvoted and outrigged by the fake votes from the left, right? So think about this. If you want people to coexist in a peaceful society, people have to have, they have to feel a sense of freedom that, oh, I can speak my mind. I can work wherever I want to work. I can bank wherever I want to bank. And that when I go to vote, my vote actually does mean something. It means one vote, and it does count. And yet the radical left and the New York Times and the authoritarians and the Joe Bidens and the Ocasio-Cortezes of the world and so on, they are demanding that Trump supporters be really disconnected from society, banished. Even there's an African-American Democrat lawmaker who said, I'm going to get to this, said that Trump supporters should now be referred to as Negroes. Yeah, he used the word Negroes. And I guess he, I mean, what? Didn't we get past all that? I thought, didn't we elect a black president in 2008? You know, I thought we were past all that racism crap. But no, the left wants to now call white people Negroes and keep white people on their big government slave plantations now, where you have to wear a mask and you have to take a forced vaccine, the Biden vaccine, no, the Bill Gates Biden special, you know, and you have to obey and you have to accept the outcome of an election that you know was rigged. And you have to agree to be censored because you happen to speak in a way that was, you know, pro-Constitution or something or pro-America. Well, guess what? That is not a model for peaceful coexistence. So the left is creating conditions that will lead to civil war. They know they're doing it. They're doing it on purpose. They're kind of just waiting for patriots to rise up, I suppose, because they want to be able to then label all patriots as domestic terrorists. And that's also happening as well. Joe Biden is doing that now. He's saying that Trump supporters are domestic terrorists. You know, so much for the healing and the unity message, right? Oh, and by the way, notice that when left-wing people do something crazy or illegal, like when an illegal immigrant murders an American, what does the left tell us? They say, oh, you can't judge all immigrants by the actions of just a few, right? That's their mantra. But now when there were, let's say, 1 million people in D.C., and then an Antifa-led, quote, breach of the Capitol building is followed by, you know, a couple hundred patriots who are mostly just wandering around and filming on their iPhones and just laughing it up. All of a sudden, the media says all Trump supporters are terrorists. you never hear the justification now, you know, or the argument that, oh, well, that's just a few of those people. You can't judge the entire group by the actions of the few. You don't hear that argument now, do you? Because again, logic never matters to the left. It's all about hypocrisy and double standards. So my point here is, and again, I call for peaceful solutions here, and I don't want to see violence instigated, but at the same time, censorship is a form of violence. So when they are systematically censoring people for their political views, that is institutional violence against half of America. And then they wonder why people are mad. Why are people frustrated? Why do some people feel like they needed to join the rushing of the Capitol building? Huh, I wonder why. Because they're being systematically censored, they're being disenfranchised, they're being oppressed, and they are the repressed people. Now, Ocasio-Cortez had said during the George Floyd riots, she said that, quote, marginalized people, quote, have no choice but to riot. Ah, see, now we're getting to it. Ocasio-Cortez. And she has long argued that people who are marginalized have to riot and that the whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. That's an actual tweet from her. Quote, the whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. Activists take that discomfort with the status quo and advocate for concrete policy changes. Popular support often starts small and grows. To folks who complain protest demands make others uncomfortable, that's the point. Okay, that's Ocasio-Cortez. Now, her spokesperson is out there pressuring Twitter to censor people who are quoting AOC herself. So if you quote AOC, then now you're going to be censored because AOC was saying that marginalized people have no choice but to riot. Now, she had said that after an Antifa extremist was firebombing the ICE detention center in Tacoma, Washington, and she refused to condemn those people. So she was talking about firebombing a government building. And that's when she said, oh, marginalized people have no choice but to riot. Well, who is marginalized today? It's the Trump supporter who's marginalized. It's the white Christian male who is marginalized today. Because there are special privileges for everybody else, special privileges for gays and people of color and transgenders and in many cases women and, you know, the whole LGBTQ wordy library of special people, super special people. But if you're not one of those people, especially if you're a white male Christian, conservative, gun owner, Trump supporter, you are marginalized today. You are not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to vote in a way that counts because in your state, you may live in the rural area, but the votes are counted by the LGBT people in the downtown counting centers who are rigging it. So you're disenfranchised even at the local level. You're not allowed to have a job with your beliefs. You know, you're not allowed to exist in society. So you are a marginalized person. And according to AOC, then you have the right to riot. See, but of course, you can never use the leftist logic against themselves because they will say, well, the rules have changed now. And that's exactly what's going to happen. For 4 years, quote, the resistance was worshipped by the media. The resistance, you know, the Kathy Griffiths of the world and the Madonnas and everybody was speaking out and said they want to bomb the White House. Remember that? Well, once Biden gets into the White House, what's going to happen if you say you want to bomb the White House then? Are you going to be celebrated on Twitter, honored by the media? No, you're going to be called a domestic terrorist, and they're going to come arrest you. And in fact, right now, around the Capitol building, they are erecting a 7-foot tall fence, and they have reportedly 6,200 National Guard troops that have been deployed there. Because, you know, the false flag is done when they only had a skeleton crew. So now they've got the troops there and they're going to have this wall, this border wall around the Capitol building, around Joe Biden. So again, the left is pro-wall as long as it's their wall. But they hate a wall for the border of the country. They just want a wall to keep Patriots out of the Capitol building so that they can pass their illegal laws and carry out their fraudulent votes of, you know, electors for Biden in the middle of the night after they've declared martial law, after they have a curfew. And there were also reports that DC police had locked people in their hotels and had not allowed them to even leave their hotels in DC. You couldn't leave the town. You couldn't leave your hotel because they found that some hotels had a bunch of Trump supporters. And so the police formed like a human barricade outside the hotel. This is the kind of tyranny and lockdown and just total illegality that we are going to see under a Biden administration if indeed Trump doesn't take action to stop all this from happening. So it's not going to be a pretty future for America. And if Biden does get sworn in, I'll cover some more details about really what that means and what's coming. And since the Democrats stole the Georgia election as well, it means they've stolen the Senate. And remember, they stole the House in 2018, and now they stole the White House in 2020. So they're going to have all three houses, and they're going to go for broke. And by the time they're done, you're not going to have a Constitution. There'll be no First Amendment. There'll be no Second Amendment. There will be massive criminalization of conservatives and Trump supporters and Christians and white people. There will be actual death squads unleashed across America to take out Trump supporters, to kill them or arrest them. And this is what Lynn Wood was talking about, by the way, when he said, here's his tweet right here. Rumors that Pence and leaders of the coup are planning to arrest and execute President Trump and his followers. That's from Lynn Wood. This is what communists do. It's called the purge. And there is a massive purge that's coming. So who are the marginalized people today? Well, it's real Americans. But all the favoritism goes to those who hate America. Think about that. So the people who hate this country, the anti-Trump haters, the radical left, they claim to be marginalized. They claim that they need all the special favors because they are LGBT, they are transgenders, or they are people of color, or they are whatever. Native Americans, Elizabeth Warren, give me a break. They claim they need special protections. And over the years, through Supreme Court cases and legislation, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and so on, they have achieved special protections. But you know what was missing in the Civil Rights Act, which said, yeah, you can't discriminate against somebody based on the color of their skin. And other laws, you can't discriminate against someone based on their sex or gender. But there was never a law that said you can't discriminate against someone based on their political views. And this is what is allowing big tech and big banks and online e-commerce companies are now banning Trump merchandise. Shopify just banned a Trump merchandise store online. MailChimp bans email newsletters to Trump supporters. And it's legal for them to do that because there was never any civil rights law that protected the new marginalized Americans, which are conservatives, straight white Christian conservatives. So by the way, I've been thinking about this a lot and what the solution would be to this. And I think that we should model our movement. We should demand civil rights protections for, you know, Christians and political views and so on. And we should model it after Dr. King, modeled after Martin Luther King, because Dr. King had, I think, the most effective model, which was peaceful disobedience. So it doesn't mean, you know, picking up guns and going in and shooting everybody, because that's just going to escalate into troops on the streets. But what Dr. King was able to achieve was to shame society into revealing their own hypocrisy. See, Dr. King was able to allow black people at the time to show that they were being victimized, they were being discriminated against. They were being asked to sit at the back of the bus or eat at the blacks-only section of the restaurant or drink from the blacks-only water fountain. Well, today in society, you try to go on Twitter as a white Christian Trump supporter you are the new marginalized. You're going to be banned because of your political views. So we need a peaceful mass movement that would be, for example, not storming the Capitol building, but surrounding the Capitol building with millions of people demanding civil rights protections for people who have political views that are pro-America, or any political view for that matter. You know, you shouldn't, a business shouldn't be able to discriminate against you, whether it's a bank or a search engine or an online video site or what have you, or, you know, some corporation in America shouldn't be able to discriminate against you based on your political beliefs. But Google routinely fires people for being conservative. And so does every big tech company. And by the way, there were over, I think, 200 corporate CEOs that demanded Congress install Biden as president. And most of those corporations have their, you know, LGBT sensitivity training, mandatory seminars and everything. And they go out of their way to hire people who look appropriate for the woke culture. So they'll judge someone based on their looks. Oh, here, we got to hire, you know, a person of color. We got to hire a woman. We got to hire a person in a wheelchair. You know, we got to hire, you know, whatever. And that's insane. And it insults all those people because it doesn't judge them on their humanity and their skills. It judges them on the way they look, which is what racism is, judging people on the way they look. And that's what the left demands. And that's what the corporations are doing. We should have a merit-based society, which is exactly what Dr. King had demanded. Only a merit-based society. And at the time, Dr. King was just saying, hey, black people shouldn't be fired from their jobs for being black. There are plenty of black people who have great skills that are even, in many cases, more qualified than whoever else was in line, but they were fired because they were black. That was the whole argument of Dr. King, was a merit-based society. And that's exactly what we need. And the only way we're ever going to get it is to have a peaceful movement rooted in peaceful protest and peaceful disobedience. And if it means, you know, like Dr. King had set up, if it means 1,000 people being arrested and thrown in jail, so be it. Fill the prisons with your peaceful protest. But you don't have to go to war, a kinetic war. So that's, you know, that's my solution, or I mean, that's my suggestion, citing his solution, right? Would be a more appropriate way. I'm not trying to take credit for it. I'm just saying he had the right approach. You have to do this through peaceful protests. And, you know, just as black people in the 60s might have been marching across a bridge, you know, and there might have been racists throwing bricks at them or whatever. Well, today, think about what that scene would be today. It would be white American conservative Christian patriots marching down a street, and Antifa and Black Lives Matter will be throwing bricks at them. See? So the whole script has flipped. And now, who are the oppressed? It's pretty obvious at this point. So to change the topic here, by the way, NPR ran a story on the morning of January 6th, many hours before the Capitol building was breached. And the story, which ran at 9:33 a.m. on an NPR site, the title is, quote, Trump supporters storm U.S. Capitol, clash with police. So they ran the story before the event happened, which smacks of exactly what took place on 9/11, too. All right, so that's the full discussion for today, folks. Sorry to cut it off, but there's a lot going on. And I will continue to bring you intel, of course, tomorrow and the next day and so on. I'll bring you a new update here all the way through January 20th, at least, maybe after that as well. And given the rapid pace of events here, you know, anything could happen at any time. So just be alert, be on standby, be ready. And I'll just give it to you as honestly as I can, as we're seeing it. And if we end up in a situation where it's over for our republic, then, you know, I'll have to bring you that bad news. But we are not there yet. I hope we don't get there. I hope Trump does what's necessary to save the republic. He certainly has our backing to do so. So thank you for listening. Be sure to check each day at brighteon.com for new updates. And also, I am releasing other intel at brighteon.social which you can join if you want news faster than what you get here. I often have tidbits there. Brighteon.social is free to join. It's a Twitter alternative. It's kind of like Parler. But thank you for your support. And God bless you. Prayers to you. God bless America. Thank you for your prayers as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow.